Good evening, Church of Glen Shaw Valley. In the scripture, the Lord taught us twice how to pray, once in Luke and a second time in Matthew, and it was within the Sermon on the Mount. In it, he told us how to pray and how to fast and how to give to the poor. So please listen to your own personal messages. I read Matthew 6, 5 through 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of the many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Prayer. Just the word prayer elicits a wide variety of responses and feelings. Everything from the most pious of responses to the most pitiful of excuses. The concept and practice of prayer has evoked much writing and discussion in Christian circles down through the ages, and most of us would profess fairly easily that we believe in prayer and that we believe that it is important. Most of us would have to confess, perhaps not so easily, that we do not pray as we should. As we begin our Lenten pilgrimage tonight, let us begin with prayer. And I mean that both literally and figuratively. Let us begin where Jesus always seemed to begin every venture and effort, with prayer. It is one of the Lenten disciplines espoused by the church for years, but it is more than just a discipline. So let us take some time as we begin Lent to explore what prayer is, or maybe what it's not. Part of the problem, I suspect, about our failure to pray more frequently is many of us feel uncomfortable with prayer in public and even in private. We don't seem to know how to pray, and because we get up all hung up on how to pray, we feel inadequate for the task, embarrassed sometimes by the act itself, unable to address God as we feel that we should. And so many of us simply just don't pray. Well, let's lay to rest some of the how-to part right away. I found a wonderful poem that will help us to put some that issue into a right perspective. Listen to Cyrus Brown's Prayer by Sam Walter Foss. The proper way for a man to pray, said Deacon Keyes, and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. No, I should say, the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt, upturned eyes. Oh, no, 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 said Elder Slow. Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hand should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing towards the ground, said Reverend Dr. Blunt. Last year I fell in Hodgkin's well, head first, said Cyrus Brown, with both my heels a-sticking up, my head a-pointing down, and I made a prayer right then and there, best prayer I ever said. The prayingest prayer I ever prayed, a standing on my head. Part of the difficulty lies in the fact that we do not live in a praying world. It really doesn't matter how you pray, where you are. But it is a frightening world, but it is not a world that knows how to pray. It perhaps would like to pray, but many have given up on the task of prayer. In a world that contains many who prayed once but have given up the effort, there are many gifted people in the world who do the best they can to meet the challenges of a troubled world and to seek to become worthwhile people while contributing what they can to society. But through it all, there's a sense of isolation from God, and because of that isolation, they feel alone in the struggle. The real problem is that most of us were never taught what prayer is and what prayer can be. We grew up confusing the God above with Santa, from whom we ask many gifts and favors, and on Christmas morning, we better get it. Well-meaning church theologians haven't helped much either. Their definitions and discussions on the matter often leave us cold and confused. I read about a well-known theologian in a seminar say, prayer is basically man in the totality of being stretched out to possess the transcendent, awesome God in an intimate inwardness of his deepest consciousness. Anybody know what that means? That sure clarifies things and sets our hearts and minds and really makes us want to pray, doesn't it? Now, give me the wisdom of Grandpa Rucker, one of the lively characters in Olive Ann Burns' book, Cold Sassy Tree. Here's wisdom born of experience. Says Grandpa, another thing to think on, some folks ain't said pea turkey to God in years. They don't ask him for nothing, don't specially try to be good, and don't love nobody the way Jesus said to, except their own self. But they going to get just about as much or as little in the way of earthly goods as the rest of us. They go and have sorrows and joys, failures and good times. And when they come down sick and they going to get well or die, just same as the praying folks. So don't that tell you something about praying? Ain't the best praying just being with God and talking a while? Like he's a good friend? Instead of like he runs a store and you're coming in hoping to get a bargain? I think Rucker got to the heart of the matter and to our hearts. And that's where I'd like to leave it tonight. Prayer's being simply being in communion with God. Not something to be used when a need arises, when you're in a tight spot and you don't know where to turn. Prayer's being in a relationship so that God can speak to us, not just us pestering God with our grocery store list of wants. Prayer is finding peace in the midst of our troubles, calm in the midst of calamity, and love in the midst of our loneliness. It's not that we don't know how to pray, it's that we have lost what it means to be in a relationship with a loving, listening, forgiving, gracious, and merciful God. Prayer is the only skill the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach them. The only one. They didn't ask him to teach them, Lord, how do we heal people? Lord, how do we teach people? Lord, how do we ask for money? How do we run and moderate a meeting? How do we do miracles? How do we manage the crowds? How do we organize a movement? Or how do we start a church? All they asked was, Lord, teach us to pray. They asked him to teach them how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. I want you to hear that. Our Father. Not our God. Not our Lord. Not Commander. Not Master. Not even really Jesus. Our Father. Our Father. Prayer was the way he began every important step of his life, Jesus did. Steps that led to Jerusalem, that led to the cross, and led to our salvation and our eternal life. So let us join him and listen to him. Let us all begin a prayer life, or renew the prayer life that we've let slide slowly by the way. Maybe it didn't happen all at once, but it's become stagnant, and you only bring it out when you really, really think you need it. If praying to the Father was good enough for Jesus and the apostles, then I, for one, think it's good enough for us. May God bless you. Amen.